when you get to where you don't care what people think about you, you're going to serve God and live for Him, then you know you'll win a great victory right there. Put them on the defensive. Don't you stay on the defensive about being a Christian. I mean, make them feel uncomfortable. They're not saved. Amen. Turn your Bibles, please, to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Hebrews 4. I'm just going to base my message on this one verse today. I like the verse over in Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I believe the word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. And then Hebrews 4, verse 12. The word of God is quick, that it is living. It's living, it's alive. It's in, the Word of God gets a job done. It's in operation, moving. The Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The Word of God gets down right where you live, right on down in the innermost part of your being. And of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can preach the Word of God and somebody can get under conviction, go out and say, who told that preacher about me? He didn't know anything. He just preached the Word and the Word rung your number, didn't it? That's what the Word of God is. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's bow our heads, please, for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this good service. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs and the prayers that's gone Godward, that fine testimony of what you've done for Sister Ann Murphy, Lord. Thank you for the way you've used her out there. Pray you continue to bless that ministry there to those precious Indians. And God, meet their needs. And bless us today as we think of the Word of God. Have your way. People here not saved, may this be the day they'll walk this aisle and trust Jesus their Savior. Build us up in the Word of God, we pray today. May the Lord Jesus be honored. Lord, we know that if we'll just honor you, Lord, you'll honor us and help us to honor you and your Word today. May the Holy Spirit do his office work in the hearts and lives of people today and defeat the devil and get glory through everything that's accomplished on these grounds today. Bless our boys and girls over in the other churches. Now, bless us here. Holy Spirit, dew of heaven. Be in our midst, we pray, in Jesus. And Lord, anoint me now as I preach. Give me liberty and freedom in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, I'm not an authority on anything that I know of. And if I am, it's an accident. I used to know a little bit about football, since I played football in high school and college, but that's been back in the dark ages, about 38 years ago, I think, the last time I was on a football field. And the things have changed. The rules have changed a lot since then. And just being away from the game so long, I've forgotten a lot about it. And it's passed me by, all the rule changes. I've been a student of prophecy for many, many years. I used to, when I first got here many years ago, I preached on prophecy all the time. Preached on it all the time. The Lord hardly wouldn't let me preach on it anymore. I preached through the book of Daniel 5 times since I've been here, and through the book of Revelation 5 times, and on related events and prophecies so many times. And I read everything I can get my hands on in the line of prophecy, but I realize, even though I have a working knowledge of prophecy, I'm not a prophecy scholar. Now, I guess that there might be an area, though, that I'm an authority in. I grew up around fox dogs, hound dogs. My daddy had about five or six old lazy walker fox dogs around all the time. And ever since I've been here, I've had three or four beagle dogs, so maybe I might know a little bit about hound dogs. When I see a rabbit hound on a trail of a rabbit, I can watch him work and know where it's a pretty good dog or not. So I might be a little authority on that. And as you know, I think the most you say, preacher, what kind of musical taste do you have? Well, I think the most beautiful music in the world is a pack of beagle dogs after a cottontail. Some of you have said before so facetiously and disrespectful that you couldn't hear the music for all those dogs barking. Now, that's a carnal attitude to take now, folks. That must be the sign you're an apostate to talk about that beautiful music like that. But you just don't have good sense of a musical. You need to take a course in musical appreciation. You'd understand that. But no, I'm not even an authority on beagle dogs. A lot of men maybe even sitting here know more about that than I do. But you know, there's one topic that I believe I can stand and speak to you about with a little knowledge. And that the topic I'm talking about is the Word of God. Now, I've believed this old book from before I was ever saved. I believed that book because I had a mother and father who taught me. Now, they were uneducated people. They just had 6th and 7th, 8th grade education. And they didn't have much education, but they had enough sense to believe the Bible. A lot of more sense than a lot of these PhDs in our seminaries and our colleges. My folks taught me the Bible is the Word of God. And after I got saved, shortly after I got saved as a teenager, I started reading the Bible through once a year. And for over 40 years, I've read the Bible through once a year, 3 or 4 chapters a day. And I've been preaching the Word of God for, I think, this coming spring will be the 38th anniversary of preaching God's Word. So my life's been centered around the Word of God. I've read the Word of God. I've taught the Word of God. And I've preached the Word of God and tried to live by the Word of God. So my life's just been the Word of God. That's a pretty good life just to have it built around the Word, isn't it? And I know by experience to a limited degree. Certainly I don't know everything about the Word of God, but I know I have a limited knowledge of the power of the Word of God in the life of a believer. I do have a little experience along that line. And I want us to think about the Word of God today and how it can help us and how it can build us up and how we can have victory through the Word of God. But let me first say, the Bible teaches we're born again by the Word of God. We're born into the family of God through the operation of the Word of God. And salvation is not joining the church. Salvation's not getting baptized. Salvation's not living a good life, though I believe in all of that after you get saved. But we're saved on the basis of what God says in His Word, and we're saved by believing the Word of God. I don't understand it. It's a great mystery to me. But when a person hears the Word of God and believes the Word of God, the Holy Spirit quickens and they're quickened by the Holy Spirit, and that person is saved when they believe, when they hear what God has to say and they believe the Word of God, that moment they're born of the Spirit of God. I don't understand it. A farmer doesn't understand when he sows a seed how after the sunshine, the rain works on that seed, everything's just right, there springs life out of that seed. I don't understand that. I don't understand why when we give people the Word of God, how somehow if it's mixed with faith, then they're born of the Spirit of God. I don't understand that, but the Word of God teaches it. As 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, inerrant, the inerrant Word of God. Being born of incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Turn over in your Bibles with me, please, to James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter. Verse 18. I want you to see this. It's so important that you see how God uses the Word of God in our conversion. James 1:18. Of page 1307 in your old Scofield Reference Bible. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us. Now, how did he begat he us? Now, see that there now. Look at it. With the word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So keep that in mind. We're born again. He begat us through his word, the word of truth. Then look down at verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness, that is with humility. Stand in awe before God's word. Respect it. Believe it. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. What will the word of God, that engrafted word, do? Which is able to save your soul. Aren't those glorious truths about the Word of God? It says if we'll just receive God's Word and believe God's Word, that you will be born again and it will save your never dying soul. Now, then after we're saved by God's Word, then the believers can have all their needs met in the Word of God. And I want us to see that. The first thing, after we're saved, we need assurance, don't we? Everybody needs assurance of their salvation. Now, the first thing, after we're saved, is we need to settle that thing of the assurance of our salvation. And the Word of God gives us blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. The Word of God gives us that. Let me say this. Folks, most people, somewhere along the line after they're saved. Now, we shouldn't doubt our salvation. It is wrong to doubt your salvation. It dishonors God when we doubt our salvation. And it doesn't please him. And but the devil will somehow blindside us somewhere along the line if we're not careful, and he'll get us to doubting our salvation. Most people have the sad experience, most born-again people have the sad experience somewhere along the line of wondering, now, am I really saved? The devil will get you doubting that. Back 4 or 5 years ago when I had a lung problem, coughing up blood, big spots on my lungs, I thought it was over with, and I was scared. And the devil got me to thinking, because I was scared to die, that I wasn't saved. I won't go into that. I've gone into it before. But I come up here, locked the doors in the morning, spent time reading the word, praying and crying, getting on my face trying to get saved. And finally, the Lord wouldn't even hear my prayer. It's a hard thing to get saved when you're already saved. And finally, the devil got defeated, and I realized I could, listen, I sympathize with you when you try to get saved and you're already saved. And finally, the Lord just removed those doubts and fears about my salvation. I realized I was already saved many years ago. And see, the devil can get in a dark moment, a weak moment, can get you to doubt. But the only way we can have blessed assurance is to go back to the Word of God. Because God's not going to lie. And we can base our salvation, the assurance of our salvation, on the Word of God. And folks, there are a lot of false assurances that we can have of salvation. And some people can have false assurance and it'll send you to hell. Now, if you can't base your salvation, the assurance of your salvation, on your feelings. Now, I love to feel good. I love to feel the presence of the Lord. I like to get blessed. Nobody likes to get blessed. I mean, really blessed. I mean, the real thing, you know, more than I do. But folks, you can't base your salvation on your feelings, because you're going to be up one day and you're going to be down another day. And so you can't base your salvation on your feelings or your emotions. I used to think, well, boy, if you're saved and a person really gets saved, they'll shout and carry on. Well, not necessarily. I've seen them shout and carry on, run off somebody else's wife the next week. So you can't go by your feelings. You can't base your salvation on your good works. There's no preacher, I don't guess, around here that preaches that you ought to be a separated Christian, and much more than I do. I doubt there's many that preach good works and stronger than I do, but you can't base your salvation on your good works. Now, you ought to have good works if you are saved, but you're not saved because you pay your debts and don't go down to the tavern and stay out of the hell hole. That doesn't prove you're saved. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You can't base your salvation on your church membership. You can come forward and join this church, and you can, if you don't get saved and trust Jesus Christ and him alone, you can become a Baptist and be as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. Now, if you're a church member this morning without receiving Jesus Christ and trusting him and him alone, you're not saved even though you're a member of the church. And you can't base your salvation on baptism. Water baptism will not give you blessed assurance down in your soul that you're a child of God. Water baptism will fail you when you face the chilly hand of death if you're just trusting that baptism. Now, the greatest source of assurance of our salvation is right there, the Word of God. Turn over to 1 John 5:13. 1 John 5:13. John 5:13, page 1325 in your Scofield Reference Bible. I want you to see that. That's a precious verse. God said in his word, these things have I written unto you that believe. Now, it's written unto you that believe. You that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, here's what God says to you who have believed, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Have you believed on Jesus this morning? God said, I want you to know you have eternal life. If you don't make it to heaven, you don't have eternal life. And if you believe on Jesus, you have eternal life. That says you're going to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So God's word was written that we might know we have eternal life by believing on the name of the Son of God. Now, let's all face this. I want to help you on this matter of assurance. Have you sincerely, the best you know how, the best you know, that's all you can do, the best you know how, isn't it? You can't do any better than that, the best you know how. Realize you were a sinner and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, you better listen to the preacher this morning. The devil's going to get you doubting your salvation sometime in the future. Most of you. Some of you, I've known some people never doubted their salvation. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Wonderful. But most people are going to have this problem sooner or later. But was there a time when you realized you were lost and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the best you knew how? Then if you did, according to God's Word, you're S-A-V-E-D. According to the Word of God. You say, preacher, I don't quite feel. Well, are you trusting your feelings or the Word of God? You better say, I'm trusting God's Word. Hallelujah. Feeling or no feeling, trust God's Word. And brother, if you're trusting God's Word for the assurance of your salvation, there will be some feelings come along the way. And that feeling will be just, bless God, I'm trusting His Word. And down in my heart, I'm just trusting God for my salvation, His Word. That'll give you blessed assurance. Nothing else will give you. Turn over to John 3. John 3:36. John 3:36. People say, well, I believe you got to feel it. Well, stick your finger in a light socket then if you want to feel something. What you need to know something. You need to know something. You need to know that God promises if you will believe on Jesus, you will be saved. Look at John 3:36. Now look at it close. God's Word. Do you believe God's Word? Do you believe God's Word's true? You believe His Word's true? Okay. Then you believe God is an honest person. I do. I don't believe God put something in this book to play tricks on me. Then he said in his word, he that believeth on the capital S-O-N, that's Jesus, he that believeth on the Son, H-A-T-H, that's hath, that's present tense, hath everlasting life. Now, you don't have to be too smart to understand that. I mean, the average fellow like me can say, God says, if I'll just believe, I have everlasting life. I mean, you can be a junior boy or girl and understand that. So he says that if you believe on Jesus, you have everlasting life. And he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There's two classes of people in God's sight. Those who believe on Jesus and those who do not believe on Jesus. And it's clear, I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what anybody preacher says. I don't care what any denomination says. The only way that you can have assurance of your salvation, God says, as he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So you know, if you get to doubt your salvation, just take that verse and ram it up under the nose of the old wicked one, the devil, and say, look there, Mr. Devil. And he'll have to take his flight. So when that rascal comes around tempting you to doubt your salvation, just give him a dose of John 3:36 there. And it'll run him away and give you blessed assurance. Now folks, you better see that when doubt comes, flee to the Word of God and rest your soul on what God says in his Word. Then another thing. I've spent too long on that. I was going to use all of that as sort of to get to the rest of my message. So now I'm going to have to hurry through the rest of my message. But let me just give you quickly some things. After you get saved by the Word, after you get assured by the Word, then you need to get built up by the Word. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Trouble with most Christians in our churches, they stay spiritual babies and never get out of the babyhood stage. As 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire ye the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Go back to the nursery this morning, and those kids have, most of them have a bottle back there, and you let one of those nursery workers slap a bottle in their face, and boy, they go right to town on it. It's a sight to behold, inhaling and sucking on that milk bottle. I mean, just taking it in as fast as their little mouths can take it in, draw it out of those bottles. And you know, that's what God's Word says, that we as believers ought to do for this book as newborn babes, just going for it. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. And the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, or Acts, he said to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:32, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. There's one thing. People think, well, just going to church is going to build them up. No, you ought to come to church to be challenged. But folks, you've got to get in that Word daily if you're going to be built up in the faith. Now, if you'll read the Word of God, spend time in the Word of God daily, it'll build you up and you won't be spiritually weak and spiritually anemic. Old Dr. Lashley has got the right cure for your spiritual anemia, and it is a daily dose of the Word of God. Nothing else will build you up. And if you don't spend time or take time daily for the Word, you'll never grow as a Christian. Then, also, a Christian needs something to keep him clean and pure as he faces a wicked world. And the Word of God will sanctify us. As the believer is assured of his salvation from the Word of God and starts growing in the Lord, then what does he do? He runs head on into sin and the defilements of this world and the sins of the flesh. Now, how can we keep our minds and hearts and souls pure from the defilement that's around us on every hand? There's just one word, and it goes right back to the Word of God. Now, you'd like to just come forward and make a little dedication decision and straighten out all your problems, wouldn't you? It's not that easy. Now, when you need to rededicate your life, you ought to do it. Now, I'm not against that. But the way you're going to live right and keep above sin and above the world is get yourself in God's Word every day. I know who's living close to Jesus in this church. I don't have to. If I can find out what you do every day with the Word of God, I'll tell you where you're living close to Jesus Christ or not. There's just no, those who are having victory in their lives are those who are spending time daily in the Word of God. And I don't care if you're a deacon or a preacher or a bus captain or a choir member, if you're not spending time daily in the Word of God, if you are saved, you're a very weak Christian. And I'm including preachers in that too. The reason a lot of preachers are falling into sin and getting out of the ministry is they're not spending time in God's Word every day. So the Word of God will sanctify. And a lot I could say about that, I'm going to skip and move on. Then the Word of God enlightens the believer. We need to be led. We have decisions to make. We need to know what to believe and what to do and where to go. And we need spiritual understanding and wisdom for our Christian life. What direction should I take? What school should I attend? Who should I marry? What church? People all the time, I'll visit them, they're moving there, and they say, well, I'm looking for the right church. And they need wisdom on what church to attend. And how can I keep from hurting my testimony? How can I keep out of compromise and yoking up with the wrong crowd? Now, where can the believer get this wisdom he so desperately needs? Again, he can only get it from the Word of God. You see, folks, why I believe the Word? I believe it's all wrapped up in the Word of God. God's revealed Himself in His Word. If you want the mind of God, search the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit of God speak to you through the Word of God. That's the answer. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth life. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And hey, wait a minute. We can all get in on that, can't we? It giveth understanding unto the simple. Well, that includes most of us, doesn't it? And so if you just take God's Word in, you don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to have a high IQ. Most of us couldn't get in on that. But if you just spend time in the Word of God, it'll give you light. And it'll give understanding to the simple. Most of us ought to say, well, blessed be God. I can get things from God. And I can get wisdom from the Lord. If I'll just, according to His Word, if I'll just look into the Word of God. So spend time daily in the Word. And when problems come up, when decisions come up, and you don't know what to do, and you face problems, you face surgery, you face wayward children, you face marital difficulties, look into the Word of God. Spend time in the Word. Pour yourself into the Word of God. And let God speak to you through His Word. And He'll never fail you. Every time I run into a difficulty, if I fret and fume and fuss, I just make things worse. But when I get alone with God's Word, just stay in the Word, God finally speaks to me through His Word and shows me what to do or gives me the assurance. And a lot of times when I just get alone with God, the problem evaporates. A lot of times our problems are in our minds anyway. And when we get alone with God, they just seem to evaporate. God just somehow takes care of them. And we just go around them or through them or under them, over them. When with God's help. Then one other thing. The believer, not only needs assurance, not only needs to be built up, he needs not only to keep clean and he needs to be sanctified, He needs, not only does he need enlightening and wisdom and understanding, but also he needs a defense against the attack of Satan. And he needs a defense against temptations that we all face. Now, are we helpless? Do we have to fall? Are we sitting ducks for temptation, for sin, and for the devil? No, I'm glad God has been gracious in the provision of his word. Again, the word of God is our greatest defense. Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So a sword is a weapon of war. And basically there are two kinds of warfare. There's defensive. That is, when Satan goes, he's going around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when Satan attacks our souls with all the cohorts of hell behind him, our only sure defense is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit with the word of God. When Satan comes, just stand on the word. The greatest defensive weapon is the word of God. Then also another kind of warfare, there is offensive warfare. They tell you that in football and in warfare, the best defense is a good offense. And you take your fight to your opponent. Don't sit back and wait on him and adjust when he makes his when he comes at you, but go at your opponent. Is the best offense is the best defense. Keep the pressure on him. And so it is in the spiritual life. Satan is no match for the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That word is a two-edged sword. Go at the devil and it cuts both ways. It's a two-edged sword. When Jesus in Matthew 4 was tempted of the devil, three times Satan came at the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord filled his hide with spiritual buckshot and said to Satan three times, "It is written." And he gave him the word of God. And the Bible says, "The devil leaveth him." So God has provided complete. Folks, listen to me this morning. He's provided complete victory for you in your spiritual life in the word of God. And we, how sad it is, we wallow around in spiritual defeat because we neglect the word of God and spend so little time in the word of God. So on this Bible Sunday, when we honor God's word today, why don't you today make a vow before God, "I'm going to spend time every day in the word of God." And God will bless you if you will. He says, here in Psalms chapter 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." God says, if you will meditate day and night in the word of God, listen to what he says. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Oh, wouldn't you like for God to plant you? Get in the word and delight in the word and let God just plant you. "That bringeth forth fruit," his fruit, "in his season." God says if you get in the word of God and love it and delight in it and meditate on it day after day after day, God said, "I'm going to plant you and I'm going to cause you to bring forth fruit in your season, in the season God chooses." And then God says, "His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So if you want to prosper in the Christian life, God says, get in the word, meditate in the word, night and day, and you can be a prosperous, spiritually prosperous Christian. So this old book is not only good enough to live by, but it's good enough, I'm thankful, to die by. So believe it and read it and heed it and love it until God calls you home. Now I'm putting it right down there in the trough for everybody to get there this morning. Just read this old book, love it, believe it, and live by it the rest of your days on this earth. And folks, you'll have victory in this life. And when life is over, this book will, if you'll just rest your soul on this book, it'll take you from earth to glory. Hallelujah for the Word. I love the Word of God this morning. The precious Word of God. Hallelujah for the book today. Good enough to live by, good enough to die by. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Precious, precious, wonderful, inerrant, perfect Word of God. If you're going to get to know God, you get to know Him through the Word of God. I'm glad one day, on the basis of the Word of God, that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior when the Word of God was preached to me. And God saved me by His grace. And if you're ever saved, you're going to be saved by according to the Word of God. God says if you'll believe on Jesus, He'll save you. And if you're going to ever grow as a Christian, you're going to have to meditate in that book day and night. How many of you this morning say, Preacher Lashley, I'm glad there was a time in my life when I did see that I needed a Savior and I trusted Jesus Christ the best I know how as my Savior, and I'm not trusting my good works to get me to heaven. I'm not trusting my baptism to get me to heaven. I'm not trusting my giving to church. I'm not trusting my feeling, but I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to get me to heaven this morning. How many of you can, as a testimony, can say that? I'm trusting Jesus, preacher. Just lift your hand. I'm trusting Him and Him alone. God bless you. You may put your hand down. How many of you say this morning, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I've trusted come to the place where I've trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for the salvation of my soul. And God's spoken to my heart this morning. And I want you to pray for me. Or maybe there's a Christian here. You say, preacher, I am saved. But I've been neglecting the Word of God and I'm defeated this morning. And I want to vow before God that I'm going to, from this moment on, I'm going to get into the Word of God every day. Whatever the spiritual need is in your life. You say, preacher, God's speaking to me this morning. There's some business I need to do with God. Pray for me all over the house. Just slip your hand. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? How many of you this morning say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Just slip your hand. Is anyone like that? I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me, preacher. I'd like to know. And you can know. We'd like to show you this morning how you could know. Take God's word and show you. You say, preacher, pray for me. Anyone else? Slip your hand right up. I'll pray for you. Are there Christians this morning say, preacher, I've been neglecting the Word of God. And I know it's hindered my spiritual growth. But I want to make a vow to God today. With His help, the rest of my days on this earth, I'm going to try to read the Word of God every day. And if you will make that vow, God will bless you the rest of your days on this earth. How many of you, maybe if you're already reading it every day, you don't have to raise your hand on this. But if you're not, and you'll say, no one looking around, you'll say, preacher, I want to vow that for God today. God's convicted me of my failure to read the Word every day. And I want to make that vow. I want to read the Word every day the rest of my days on this earth. Just slip your hand up. Would you raise your hand up? Yes. Hold it, raise it up. Put it back down. Yes. Yes. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Put it back down. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you, man. Anyone else? Oh, listen. Yes. Yes. Anyone else? Spiritual victory in the choir. Anyone in the choir want to make that vow? From this day forth. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. Thank you for the living Word, Christ Jesus. And thank you for His precious written Word today. And Father, bless now in this invitation for those that need to come and get saved. May they come to this altar, taking Jesus Christ as their Savior today. Those, Lord, that have been saved need to make it public. May they come. And maybe there's Christians that need to come and rededicate their life. Maybe there's Christians that neglecting the Word of God, and they don't need to come and get in this altar and tell the Lord, make a holy vow in this altar, that from this moment on, the rest of their days on this earth, they're going to read God's precious Word and meditate on the Word of God. Maybe some need to come and join the church. Lord, by your Spirit, draw people to Jesus now. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing, Just As I Am. Will that one please? What page? 270. Let's stand and sing. If you're not saved this morning, you want to trust Jesus, just come right on down and we'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved. If you want to just come this morning, rededicate your life, or come and kneel at this altar and make a vow to God, you're going to start reading God's Word. Come on. If you want to join the church, some of you have been saved recently. You need to make it public. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Come on. As we sing, I'll meet you right here.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Another verse of scripture, just a moment. We thank the Lord for these that's come today. My wife and June had the privilege of leading this dear lady to the Lord in her home. And last night, this couple called me up, came in. We got down on our knees in the study back there. They poured our soul out to the Lord and honored that blessed assurance that we're saved. Here they're coming forward this morning. Isn't that wonderful? Choir, sing the next verse. If someone else needs to come, won't you come? If God's speaking to your heart, do business with the Holy God this morning. Come on, as we sing, choir, come on. Slip right in. Come right in. Come on. Do business with God. Come to Jesus. Come on. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to have the choir to sing one other verse. Listen, Christian, if you hadn't been reading the Word of God every day, you ought to maybe come and get in this altar. If you've already said it, that's fine. Maybe the Lord wants you to come down and get in this altar and make that vow before God. But you're going to, by His grace and by His help, you're going to spend time every day in the Word of God the rest of your days on this earth. Now, many of you have already raised your hands if that satisfies you, but maybe you need to come, clench it, and get in this altar. Or maybe some of you need to join the church, or there's some spiritual decision you need to make. Come on, as the choir sings one of the verses, won't you come? Thank you. may be seated, please.